Apparently, we had to burn the village to save the village. Good morning, children. It is the Great One. Standing here by the fireplace. Just lit that thing up. Hanging out this morning with my bipolar girlfriend. Whoa. You guys didn't know I had a bipolar girlfriend? Yeah. Her name is Colorado. And the bipolarness manifests in the form of the weather. So before we talk about burning the village to save the village, let the Great One tell you about his week and his bipolar girlfriend. What the hell, this is Friday. Yesterday, I walked around most of yesterday thinking that yesterday, Thursday, was actually Wednesday. I also made an awful lot of progress, but we'll talk about that. We'll try to tell this story sequentially. It'll be different than normal. So let's see, if this is Friday, this is Thursday, Wednesday, I gotta backtrack. Tuesday. Wait, is that right? Tuesday. Yesterday was Thursday. No, Wednesday. Okay, whew. Tuesday, I think I just fucked off. Well, Tuesday I recorded the podcast that came out on Tuesday because I didn't want to do a linkage. And so Wednesday, now I got it together now. Yes, I have been awake for about an hour. Wednesday, one of the main reasons you didn't get a podcast on Wednesday, because I mean, it's not like there aren't things to talk about. Like, for example, the complete impending destruction of the economy of the United States, which was engineered over a non-existent pandemic simply because we really, really, really hate Donald Trump and Orange Man bad. Oh yeah, it's firing up in the fireplace now. Wednesday. You did not get a podcast because Wednesday it was 70 degrees, sun shining, couple of little clouds in the sky. It was beautiful outside, absolutely beautiful. So I went, I got on the bike and hit the bike trails and went up by Horsetooth Reservoir, did a little bit of trail running, only a little bit of trail running because, as I rather anticipated, both between the nice weather and the government-mandated shutdowns, the trails were loaded with people. So trail running was more a exercise in avoidance of all the other people. So, I mean, there's a little bit of running, but not as much as there would have been had there not been a lot of people out there. But here's the thing. I noticed a couple of things. I only saw one like mega hot babe. So that was a little disappointing. But here's something I noticed. I saw more than I think I ever have in the past. Families. Actual, like an adult male, an adult female, and then a bunch of little boys and girls, and occasionally some dogs with them. Family outings. There were some parents actually out in nature spending time with their children. Wow, like shocking. This is what it takes to get the family to go out in nature together. But I also say this. I will say this. I'm about to say this. It's a podcast. I'm going to say things. That my mind is warming up. Okay, just give me a minute here, guys. What was I going to say? Fuck. Oh, everybody. Well, not everybody. Most of the people looked very happy. We're very happy. Very, very charming and outgoing and friendly. Like everyone I said hello to enthusiastically said hello back. People enthusiastically, you know, greeted me going up and down the trail and everything. Everybody's in a very good mood. So that was impressive. That was a good thing. That was a good sign. Probably the other reason that everybody was out on the trails yesterday or Wednesday was that they all looked at the weather forecast like I did, and they knew what was supposed to happen on Thursday, which is, of course, snow. Because Colorado is bipolar. So right now, Friday morning, it is snowing, and it is 23 degrees outside. Yesterday, it only got down to about 35, 40, and snowed all over the place. But that's what we got to deal with. 70 degrees and sunny one day, 35 and snowing the next day. So now everything is cold and shitty outside. But fortunately, I have nowhere that I need to go. Also, yesterday, before the snow hit, it started raining in the morning. Before the snow hit, I got my haircut in. Of course, I told you guys I was going to get a haircut. And the man who cuts my hair is Muslim, and he is from Turkey. And so we were talking about Turkey, and I asked him how things are back there, and he said everything is fine as far as he knows. There's only a couple of cases. All his family is good and all this other stuff. And then he starts, because remember, diversity, tolerance, multiculturalism, right? See, these things are only for white people. So right now, because I've had some free time, right? I've been looking at Twitter way too fucking much. And so everything I know about the Wuhan virus, I know from Twitter, which means most of it is probably wrong. Apparently now everybody's upset because it's being called a Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus, and apparently that's racist. Okay, so this Turkish Muslim friend of mine starts in on the Chinese, and just he's going about how nasty they are, how they don't have any hygiene, how they eat anything that they can get, and they just like eat animals alive and stuff, all of which is true. All of which is completely true. Now you're gonna say, great one, haven't you in the past said that? I'm starting to wake up now, so brace yourselves. Plus his fire is kicking ass. Haven't you in the past said that the Chinese have the longest running civilization and they're going to be the longest running civilization? They're going to be here long after the rest of us? Yes. And you know why? Because they don't believe in tolerance. They don't believe in diversity. I didn't say their civilization I didn't say their civilization is a civilization of freedom and independence and progress. I said it's going to be long-lasting. Because in China, if you step out of line, they kill you and they harvest your body organs, right? I mean, in China, they breed like animals. And they eat animals while the animals are still alive. And they don't clean themselves and they don't have any concept of hygiene. But when you can breed fast enough and you have enough people, you know, your civilization can withstand all of that. But we've got this Muslim guy from Turkey just ripping into the China. And if a white person said anything that he had said, you know, on Twitter, that white person would lose their job, assuming they still have a job. Isn't it fascinating that we now live in a society where like the most important people are the people who stock the shelves at the grocery store? Like it used to be, what do you do for a living? Well, I stock the shelves at Walmart, or I stock the shelves at Safeway. People would look down on you. Right now, if you're the person who stocks the shelves at a supermarket, you have You have more job security than anybody else in the United States of America, other than possibly truck drivers. All of a sudden, truck drivers. All of a sudden, I saw this on Twitter too. All of a sudden, Donald Trump noticed that truck drivers exist. Some of us have been pointing out the supply chain for 15 fucking years. Yes, no truck drivers, no food. No truck drivers, no toilet paper. Some of us have been pointing this out for a long fucking time. And this is what it takes. This is what it takes for the rest of the fucking world to catch up with the Great One. But it is, man, the grocery store. And then this one grocery store I go to. God damn it. Did I even talk about this yet? I didn't. There are four girls who work there that I would bang. And I've already got them sorted in order. I know which one is a 9, which one's an 8, which one's a 7, and which one is a 6. So now it's like, damn. Anyway, I gotta spend more time at the grocery store, apparently. Holy fuck. Hot, hot, hot. We'll see if this gets, how much worse this gets or how much better this gets. I gotta factor all these things. See, I think too much. That's my problem, is I think too much. I'm too much of a thinker. Who didn't do enough vocal warm-ups. So I got my hair cut. Talked to my friend who is excruciatingly racist against Chinese, except of course it's not racist because he's not white. Not only is he not white, he's also a Muslim. So he can get away with anything, which is great. And, you know, we'll tangent here for a second. I've talked about this before because we all know the Great One slams on immigrants and slams on Muslims. And I'm going to slam on immigrants a little bit later in this podcast if I remember to do it. And, you know, I'm going to sound like, well, not all Muslims are like that or whatever. But I'm just going to lay it out. I mean, this man came to the United States 20-ish years ago, 25, maybe 30 now. He had like $40 and he didn't speak English. And now he owns his own business. Yeah, and he's not on welfare and he's not parasiting. And he's married to a traditional Muslim woman. They have two children who are lovely kids. I have met them. They are adorable, well-behaved. But you know, not all Muslims are like him. He appreciates the United States. He appreciates freedom. He appreciates economic freedom. He appreciates the chance to have created his business and, dare I say it, followed his passion for styling hair. And he's turned it into a thing, at least for now. So I got my hair cut yesterday morning while it was raining, before it was snowing. There's a chick who works there, she's like borderline. She's borderline 5. Nice body. Yeah, face is in. Anyhow, took care of that. Came back home. Prepped for the snow. Went, stopped off at the supermarket where the 4 hot chicks are at. Got some firewood. So I have 4. In addition to all the firewood I have stacked up. Because, you know, some of us don't wait till we run out of things to stash up. Oh, by the way, I'm listening to this podcast that I've been subscribed to for a long time but never listened to an episode of. I don't even remember the name of it. I will be putting it in the links to something. Maybe not this show, but it'll be in linkage or something coming up. In this episode, the guy talks about how to prepare for something like this. If you live in an apartment, things that you should go through. And he's talking about, you know, basically a lot of the same stuff I've said. Like when you go out and you buy a can of spaghetti sauce, buy 2 cans of spaghetti sauce. And that way you got an extra. And, you know, like saving water. again, great one, has all his bottles of water. And he goes, great one, why do you have all these bottles of water? Are you stupid? You must be dumb. You know water comes out of the tap, right? And these, of course, the same people who go to Walmart and buy bottled water. I'm like, hey, you guys do know that water comes out of the tap, right? So anyhow, yeah, those of us who have bottles of water around our apartments are maybe looking pretty smart right now, aren't we? Anyhow, it's a really good podcast. He's a lot of great ideas, which I'm bragging a little bit. Most of the things he's saying are things I've already thought of and implemented. But there's a couple of things in there I'm like, ooh, that's fucking genius. So I'll need to share this, guys, with you. Ooh, I said the word share. Oh, gross. Ooh. Oh, I feel like a liberal now. Ooh, share. I might share my feelings. Let's all get together. Oh, and so then apparently a bunch of fucking rich artists got on the internets and sang John Lennon's Imagine, and that's on the Twitterverse. And I'm just like, my God. Oh, my God. Can we... You know, there are some people who need to die of the Wuhan virus. There are some people that we should deliberately infect with Wuhan virus. So I did my thing, came home, and started plugging through the piles. As you guys know, because I've told you about it, right, I got the project desk in the living room and I got the project desk in the office. And both of them were covered in fucking paper and material for the podcast and just shit. Who knows what the fuck is in that giant pile? That is a giant fucking pile. I started plowing through it and by gum, by golly, I did it. Both desks have been not completely cleared off. There's still some stuff on each desk, although the project desk in the office has only a very few things on it. The project desk here in the living room has a couple of sheets of paper and shit like that, stuff I'm gonna take care of today and things I'm working with. But I got through all that shit, found, you know, probably 40 different to-do lists, consolidated them all, did the shit that I could do that didn't take a lot of time, got everything consolidated into one place, went through a bunch of the podcasting material I now have in the dining room. The floor is covered in stacks of material for the podcast. They're just right over there. There's like 100 hours worth of shit to do. Then I got another pile in front of me here that I didn't sort through yet. It's all just pages out of the Collegian and newspapers and magazines and shit like that. I think I'm going to attempt to get through that pile first before I even attempt that pile. But I can see the tops of both of those tables. Oh my God, it feels so good. Then I got the office cleaned up because half of this shit was on the floor in the office also. So I'm like jumping over shit. It's like hopscotch and stuff. Moved all this shit, it's all out here, out of the way, it's organized, it's laid out so that I can actually get cracking on some of these podcast episodes. And the office, I can walk in there and there's room again. Every time I walk in, I'm like, oh shit, look at that. And apparently I'll be spending a lot of more time in there because the apartment complex I live at has decided that because of the Wuhan virus, they need to close the common areas, which means now I don't have access to the fucking weight room anymore. So now I'm pissed off because I had just hit where I could do 3 sets of 5 reps of my newest max on the bench press. I had just added 5 pounds to my fucking bench press. And then these fucking douchebags, we cleaned the common areas until April the 1st so they could be disinfected. Like, are you fucking... I'm sorry, is this April Fool's joke or some shit? Almost nobody uses the fucking weight room. and I know how to fucking spray some goddamn fucking Formula 409 with bleach on a goddamn weight bench before I left. But no, everybody, you see, everybody wants to fucking jump on board now. Well, I'm doing this. Look at what I'm doing because of the Wuhan virus. Look what we're doing. Ooh, we're disinfecting. And then we can launch into my whole fucking spiel again about how, wow, this is what it takes for people to clean things. Oh, look at you. You're washing your hands. Well, congratulations. Is this really what it takes for you to wash your fucking hands? Also found out that, despite what was said in conversations, Dallas looked things over and decided that he's just laying off everybody at Weyland-Yutani, including me. So the Great One is now officially unemployed, not reduced hours, like is what I thought was coming. Which I'm not panicking, I mean, yet. Now, we'll get to that because here's the thing. We got to give it some time. But if we're still here in 30 days, then there's going to be something. I think we're looking at big economic meltdown. We're looking at big fucking problems. And it'll be interesting to see. Well, it'll be interesting to see everything. Like, of course, the first thing that comes to mind here in Fort Collins, with our atrocious rent expenses, rent prices. And again, the number of people that are out of work because the restaurants have all been closed down and everything else, there's gonna be a lot of people who can't pay rent. So it's gonna be interesting to see if the same government that has no problem putting all these people out of work and depriving them of their income, is going to jump in and say unto the landlords, hey, guess what? You're just going to have to not get rent for a month or two from your tenants, and you're going to have to suck it up. I have a suspicion that isn't going to happen. And I wonder if this will finally bring balance to the force. I wonder if a bunch of people not being able to pay rent and then, you know, getting evicted, whatever, and if that will lead to enough apartments and houses being empty and vacant and people not having the money to rent them at the current prices, I wonder if that will finally force the price of rent down in Fort Collins. And once again, we'll see. On one hand, I'd like to see. On the other hand, I don't want to see because I don't want this to go on that long. But then again, it doesn't matter what I want because we all know what I want. CSU women's volleyball team. Nobody cares. So I have a lot of free time. I will not be working part-time. I won't be going to the fucking weight room. Although, like I said, I have my weights that I personally own. What I don't have is a bench press bench, which makes it a little bit difficult for me to do proper bench pressings. Bench pressings? I don't even have shit. I've done this before. Milk crates. You can make a milk crate bench press. You're saying, what the fuck are you talking about, Great One? So you take milk crates and you take enough and you just line them up for you to lay down on. So that gets you a foot off the ground. That way your arms, your elbows can go down past your back, right? As opposed to like you just lay on the ground, right? Duh, your elbows stop when they hit the ground. So you do enough milk crates for you to lay on. You get a blanket or something, fold it up so you got some cushion. Boom. All right, great. Then you take two milk crates on each side of you, one stacked on top of the other. And that gives you a foot, and you can sit your barbell on that. And that's your rack, right? And then you get down, and you can because you then now got that foot that it's up above you, and you can grab it and boom, and you can go and you can do your bench presses and then sit it back down. Or you could even do three. Yeah, you could probably do three milk crates on each side to get it higher up if you wanted to. But see, so you can make an you can make a bench press rack out of milk crates. But I don't have any milk crates. I used to have a shit ton of milk crates right after I got out of the military. Because in the military, oh my God, we used milk crates for everything. Milk crates were furniture. Milk crates were storage. Milk crates were... Actually, that kind of covers everything. Furniture and storage. That was really all we needed. And milk crates were furniture and storage. And when I got out of the military, I just had all these milk crates that I just brought back with me because all my shit was in milk crates and that was my furniture. And milk crates galore. Now that I've moved up in the world and I have a little bit of real furniture and I have plastic storage bins for everything, well, most everything, since moving, in the process of moving, I have actually, right now, like, so much of my shit is still in plastic storage bins that just, like, it's staying. Like, I've come up with these systems where everything is just in plastic storage bins. Where it's like, all right, next time I have to move, which, if things continue, might be sooner than we think, because the great one always has the bug out plan. I can always go back to Texas and live in the house that I already own with my mother. Is it ideal? Is living with my mother what I want to do? No, but you know what? It beats being homeless. And it's my house, and it's in a small town, and it's got a great backyard, and nobody's going to be fucking freaking out about fucking Wuhan virus. And it's out in the country, and it's in Texas, where we don't have snow. Let me take a look at that. I was trying to see if it's still snowing or if it's actually stopped yet. I think it has actually stopped. But man, the air smells fantastic. Oh, fresh air. I went to bed last night with the windows open. So, it was nice and chilly this morning when I got up. Oh, it's great. Back to yesterday. Yes. Yesterday, haircut. Saying evil, racist things about Chinese people. Becoming officially unemployed. Cleaned both tables. Organized podcast material. So I made so much progress. Oh my God, it was great. And you know, part of it was just the burden of was lifted of, even though I was walking around assuming I was on reduced work hours, it's still this thing of, oh, I got to deal with work here and there. And it's like right now, there's nothing in the foreseeable future that I am obligated to. I mean, I have things I'm going to be working on, both as far as like making money and as far as doing shit. But like it's right this moment. And this is something I've learned because I've been unemployed before. A lot of people, they become unemployed and they freak out and they sink into this depression. And I wonder, whoa, hold on, how much of that is going on right now? Nah, my screen blanker kicked in. I like to be able to see my waveform here to know that something's happening because I still don't 100% trust this computer. Plus, I start up Audacity and it doesn't work and I have to smack it around. I still don't know what I'm doing that's making, because it'll not find the microphone or something and then suddenly it does. I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing that it's starting to work. Close the door now that we let in some cold air. And the house, oh man, fire's dying. Hang on, I may have to tend to my fire here. Now, I have discovered that I just getting up in the morning and just starting a fire and sitting next to the fire for the first like hour of the morning and reading a book and drinking the coffee, this is like the greatest fucking thing in the world. It's like meditation. It's just this moment of focusing in. And oh, it's great. Honest to God, I love having a fireplace. I will never be able to go back. The house I own back in Texas does not have a fireplace. It's Texas. It doesn't ever get cold enough. But I'm definitely going to put a fire pit in the backyard or something. This is the shit, man. This is absolutely the shit. So anyhow, to pick up where I left off. I'm in a very good mood right now because I am in this moment of total freedom. It's not going to last forever, right? Reality will show up. But there's going to be this period of total freedom. And I think when a lot of people lose their jobs, and so I've talked about all this way back the last time I was between jobs. I'll talk about it now just in case any of my listeners are in that space. If you've lost your job because of the virus, don't fucking panic. I mean, yes, like think ahead. And yes, understand that the future is coming and consequences and all this other stuff. But just in the moment, just take a deep breath and very calmly start thinking about what you can do and very calmly start doing the things you can do and very calmly start planning ahead, but also very calmly take some time to just fucking enjoy it because you're free of any obligations to an employer. And so think of the ways you can take advantage of that, especially ones that are going to help you, not harm you, such as, for example, cleaning up the place you live in. My next big project, which I've been meaning to do for ages, haven't got to it because I haven't had the time, got time now. The next big project I have is going through all the clothes in the closet. Because when I moved, I threw away some clothing, but they're like, oh, I'll sort the rest of this when I get there because clothing was the last thing I packed. I didn't have time. And my closet is still in total disarray, which drives me insane because I've always had a system. I've had my closet. I got to have two closets. I still have two closets. I got one closet for work clothing, and then the work clothing is divided up. I got the fucking Weyland-Yutani clothing, and then I've got the Umbrella Corporation clothing, and I've got work clothing for freelance gigs, and then I've got what I call my civilian clothing closet because, you know, I still regard non-uniform clothing as civilian clothing from being in the military. So I got my civvies, and then the civvy closet, we got, you know, the pants, and then we got the t-shirts, and then we got the short sleeve button-up shirts, and then we got the long sleeve button-up shirts, and then we got the long sleeve pullover shirts. And see, it's a system. It's an organized system. And the system is still completely out of whack. I've got the work clothes organized, but I haven't touched my civilian clothes because it just hasn't been a priority. So I'm going to go through my civvies and I'm going to pull things out of there. There's shit in there that I haven't worn in years. And I'm going to fucking get rid of stuff. And it's going to be great. I'm going to fucking clean that thing out, organize it. So that's a big project coming up. So now that I know I'm officially unemployed, I go to the website to register for unemployment insurance. We're not going to give the whole spiel. Oh my God, taxation is theft, parasite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've addressed all this in the past. In theory, unemployment insurance is not welfare because in theory, I don't know about practicality now, but in theory, the only way you get unemployment insurance is that you had a job and you paid into it. It is insurance. And so I do not regard unemployment benefits as parasitism. So again, we can say, well, in the real world, the government, and yeah, we can sit here and argue the nuances all day. I don't give a shit. If you have become unemployed because of Wuhan virus, go get your fucking unemployment benefits, guys. Go get your fucking gimme dats from the fucking government. Get any gimme dat you can do. Okay? This thing,
I am a great one. Aren't you going to be better than all the statists and not get any government gimme dats?
No. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do this little thing. I am better than my enemies. Oh, if we kill them, we're just like them. No, that works great in the movies. In reality, if you don't kill your enemies kill you. By, for example, coming to your country and bringing the Wuhan virus. Okay? Open borders, yay. Nation of immigrants, yay. Diversity is our strength, yay. And here's the other thing. Has anyone turned off the immigrants coming in? Because immigrants, as it is, come in and they take low-paying jobs and low-skill-set jobs. But now that we have just unemployed everybody who works at restaurants, bars, you know, people with low skill sets. Yeah, I guess that's the way to say it. People with non-existent skill sets, if they have a liberal arts degree, or not very useful skill sets. We've taken all these people and just dumped them back into the job market. Are we still bringing in immigrants from other countries that also don't have any skills? I mean, the economy is pretty fucked right now. If this shit is still going on in 30 days, that's when, I mean, like, this is March, April. At the end of April, if this shit's still going on, that's the point where I will have to seriously evaluate just going back to Texas. Because if this continues, April, May, if this continues into May, there's no way, I don't think the economy will ever bounce back in my lifetime. And the virus is really not doing anything. It's the economic destruction wrought by the government doing stupid shit. So anyhow, go get your gimme dats. So I go on the interwebs. Why is the fire not? Come on, guys. I wonder if some of that wood was wet. It's been sitting here for a while. It should have been nice and dry. Hold on, I'm trying to remember where I was. Yes, went on the interwebs to do the unemployment registration thing. Well, the website, I get probably most of the way through filling out all of the fucking paperwork and forms and everything. And the fucking website can't process my report, can't process my whatever, can't process my request. That's the word I'm looking for, request. So I'm like, God damn it. So you can save it and come back later, but only for 24 hours. I'm like, well, that's useful. So I'll have to start all over. Spoiler, I didn't get it done. Spoiler alert. So I tried throughout the course of the, there is no try. I went to the website multiple times yesterday. Can't process your request. Can't process your request. Tried different browsers because, of course, we have this thing in our world today where, well, our website only works with Internet Explorer or Safari. Really? Are you gay? I mean, what is that shit? That is something I'm fucking sick of. So anyhow, multiple attempts. Never got it done. Later in the day, in the evening, as I try going back to the website will not even fucking respond. It's down. I'm like, okay, which makes sense because there's so many people filing for unemployment right now that they crashed the fucking website. I got up this morning, I Googled it. Sure enough, that's exactly what happened. There's a news report here. The fucking website cratered. Because, now get this, they said that in the last day that it was up, it received 6,800 people trying to register for unemployment. Here's a news flash for the state of Colorado. if your unemployment registration process can't handle 7,000 people in a day, you're fucked, because there's a lot more coming. There's a lot more coming. This is going to get much worse before it gets any better. Because then I looked on the IG to see if there's any hot chicks. On Instagram, there's still all these thoughts posting pictures of their titties. That hasn't changed. I looked on the IG and I saw a post from someone I know who works at a hair salon. Well, guess what? The government of Colorado has closed now. Hair salons, spas, nail parlors, and brace yourselves, because this might cause rioting in the streets. Tattoo parlors are closed until April the 30th. First of all, I don't know how the fucking millennial losers are going to make it without their fucking tattoos and their piercings. We've just dumped another batch of people into the numbers of the unemployed, and the fucking state of Colorado can't get their fucking website to work where people go and register for unemployment benefits. Woo, doggy. We are living in interesting times. Interesting times. I'm gonna go get some more coffee. I'll be right back. I also saw in one of the news reports about the closing of the hair salons, and see, there we go, because you may have been thinking, great one, why did you decide that you should go get a haircut at this point? Was your hair really? No, I saw this coming. That was exactly why. I'm like, yeah, I better call up the salon and get me a fucking hair appointment as soon as I can. And when I was talking to my friend yesterday, he was actually saying, oh yeah, we're safe here because the hairspray has got alcohol in it and we have disinfect, like we're this, nothing's gonna spread around here. Everything this is disinfected in here. And bam, 24 hours later, he's shut down by our homosexual governor, Jared Polis, who is a rich white man. What I saw in the news reports that I thought was really fascinating is that these shutdowns, apparently, of businesses don't apply to businesses. See, there's always exceptions. These shutdowns in the state of Colorado apparently don't apply to the businesses in Denver International Airport. So let me say if I got this right. And this is, let me explain, I'm becoming more convinced that the Wuhan virus is not a big deal. Remember, everyone's going to say, look, the Wuhan virus, the cases are going up, right? Remember, guys, what I tell you, we haven't looked for Wuhan virus, so of course the number of cases is going up. This still doesn't mean it's a fucking problem or a crisis. The number of cases are going up because suddenly people are testing for it. If nobody was testing for the Wuhan virus, you wouldn't know people even had it. You would think people just have the flu, and there'd be some people, some old people with compromised immune systems, who die from it, just like people die from the flu if they're old and have compromised immune systems. So I am still not convinced this is a real pandemic. which is also hilarious because looking at the blogs I read and the Twitterverse, everybody is just absolutely on the side of the government is faking this or it's a pandemic and we're all going to die tomorrow. There's like nobody anywhere using any kind of reasoning. Now, the part of this that is fake, and it's not by the government, this is the media. The media has blown this out of proportion for no reason other than to get Donald Trump out of office. The entire purpose of the media's actions here is to blow this up, to destroy the economy, to get rid of Donald Trump. And the governments of all the states and, you know, local governments, everybody's just jumping on board. Everybody is trying to outdo each other with shutting shit down to prevent the fucking spread of the virus. You know, because, you know, right, social distancing, and we can't have more than 10 people in a place, and we got to shut down your gym, and we got to shut down the hair salon, we got to shut down all this stuff to prevent the virus from spreading. But you know what we're not going to shut down? We're not going to shut down the airport, because we still want people from other countries to be able to fly here and then bring their diseases. Because that makes total sense, right? Because the purpose isn't to protect you from the Wuhan virus. If they were trying to protect you from the Wuhan virus, the first thing you shut down is the airports. That's number one. If you have a real pandemic, okay, the first thing you shut down is you shut down the borders, period. Nobody comes in the country or out of the country, and that includes the airports. Because an airport, not only do you have people coming from other countries, people going to other countries, but then you have all these people stuck in a fucking tin can sharing air. And I know you think this is racist, but I don't care. Okay? Speaking as someone who has worked in biomedical industry, biomedical research, and been in the presence of bioweapons, and at one point had select agent clearance from the government of the United States to be in the presence of and to transport biological weapons, which, if you're new to this show, the person talking to you right now has had permission from the government of the United States to possess and transport biological weapons. Let that sink in for a second and let that terrify you. Okay, I know a little bit about this. You shut down the fucking borders, you shut down the airports. That is number one. You don't start with closing fucking restaurants and work your way up. You start with isolating at the borders and you work your way down. So you see, the airports are still in full fucking flow. The businesses at the airports, they're not affected. You can hang out there and spread your germs all you fucking want. But we're going to shut down all the bars, all the restaurants, all the tattoo parlors, all the gyms, because we wouldn't want anybody exercising to maintain their health while there's a pandemic going around, would we? We can't fucking have that. We're going to get everybody locked in their houses, and the stupid people probably have their windows shut and everything. Guys, sunshine and ventilation. I can't emphasize this enough. Okay? Sunshine and ventilation. Don't go in your fucking house or apartment and seal all the doors up and think that that's making you safe. Open the fucking windows. Get some fresh air. Go outside. So the airport is still in full fucking swing. But we're going to completely destroy the economy by shutting down every other non-essential, according to our homosexual governor, business. Apparently, they've also put a ban on non-essential medical procedures and surgeries. Who gets to decide what medical procedure is non-essential? Oh, our homosexual governor does, I'm sure. So the state of Colorado better be working on their fucking website, because they're going to need that thing up and running. There's going to be a lot more than 7,000 people coming. Where does that leave me? So I did that. I did that. What do I got left? What the fuck else do I have to talk about? Airport, tattoo parlors. Closing the tattoo parlors. That's probably gonna. That's gonna hurt the millennials. Dude, I'm working on my sleeve, man. Dude, check out my sleeve, dog. What is still open is the dope dispensaries. No surprises there. Those are not gonna close. And granted, you don't congregate there, but I wonder what dope sales are doing. I bet marijuana sales are going up. So let's see what happens. Like I said, if May the 1st comes around and we're still in this mode with all these things shut down, it's going to get bad, I think. Or at least interesting. The economy's shot at this point. I think we are pretty fucked. But then again, I have long advocated, burning it down. I'm glad this is happening now, not later.